Hello everyone, welcome to the latest edition of the Local Shop podcast. I'm Chris Noyce, your host, and I'm joined today by James Lohman, our Chief Executive.
Hi.
And Eleanor, who's leading on crime and working in the Public Affairs team. Hi, Eleanor.
Hi.
And today, as you might have guessed, we're talking about crime, talking about our crime report and some other things that are going on in the sector at the moment on crime. It's obviously a huge issue for members. One of the things that we always hear about when we talk to members in stores and at meetings that we have throughout the year. So, Eleanor, with the crime report just around the corner, the launch, as we're recording this, just a few days away, what really stuck out to you as one of the biggest findings of the report?
Well, the cost of crime to the convenience sector is £246 million. Obviously, a great financial cost, £5,308 per store. That's equivalent to a 7p crime tax per transaction. Stores are investing heavily to combat this, over £4,000 per store in investment. But what really sticks out, aside from the financial cost, is the human impact that crime has on the convenience sector, which we'll come on to.
Yeah, because it's quite easy to get lost in the figures, isn't it? About, you know, 246 million is a big number, of course it is. But actually, when you go down, it's the local stories, it's the local impact that really makes a difference to the people working in stores.
Yeah, it is. And the two things are very much linked. And this is what really comes across to me from the report, that, you know, firstly, who's committing these crimes? Who's committing theft and other crimes in store? It's often people with issues around addiction, drug addiction, who are likely to be more volatile and more likely to move into violence, and also very desperate people who will commit and threaten quite serious violence for very small financial rewards in the scheme of things. And also, what are the triggers for violence? It's trying to stop shop theft, so and trying to police the law on underage sales. So for retailers who then intervene to stop theft, they then sadly find themselves at risk. So the financial cost and the human cost are very closely linked.
And I don't know, specifically on theft, the report builds up a bit more of a richer profile of the kind of people that are stealing from stores. What does the report show us?
So the cost of theft per store is over £2,000, but retailers, interestingly, are increasingly feeling that the profile of shop offenders is changing. So 79% repeat offenders is what they believe. So
that's got to be a huge source of frustration for retailers who see people coming in on a frequent basis.
So they will often recognise the same person coming back and back to the store time and time again, committing the same offences and at a huge cost to that store.
And one of the things that we hear about sometimes is there a dilemma that retailers have where they hear that people are stealing to feed themselves, to steal out of desperation. The report suggests that that's probably not the case.
The top two items that are often stolen is alcohol and meat, so high value items that are easy to resell. So that tells you that the person who's looking to steal from the store is obviously looking to resell those items to profit, unfortunately.
And it's not a figure that features specifically in the report, but we've estimated over 1 million shop thefts over the last year, so yeah, a massive problem for retailers. And as we've talked about, this doesn't exist in a bubble. Theft, as James mentioned, is a big trigger for abuse. And you know, the report also talks about the human cost of crime as well.
Yeah, the number one thing that retailers are concerned about wasn't actually identified as the cost; it was identified as violence towards their staff. So. Definitely reflects that. And there were almost 10,000 incidents of violence in our sector in the last year, with 41% of these resulting in injury, which is a staggering figure.
It is. It's really shocking. And another thing we've got in there is about 83% of people have been subject to verbal abuse, which is, you know, as anyone going to work on a daily basis, you don't expect to be abused.
And the impact of that, obviously a huge impact for the many, many people who've been affected. And I mean, that just to step back, there's an astonishing figure, the proportion of people who've been verbally abused while just doing their job, turning up to a local store and trying to serve the public. So, huge numbers. But what's the wider impact of that? It makes many of those people won't want to come back to work. Many of those people will look for jobs in other sectors. Harder to attract people, harder to maintain keep staff and to maintain the spirit and positivity, and you know, when you go to a store to work in the store, your mindset is I'm there to help the customer. You're there to try and solve problems for them, and then it flips your mindset into being about looking after yourself in the face of this sort of abuse. So I think it goes right to the heart of what we're meant to be there as stores, and and that level of abuse really undermines that.
And one of the things that we're doing as part of this, as part of the whole industry's role to try and tackle abuse and to try and make sure that the full scale of abuse is recognised, is we are delivering on behalf of the Home Office a campaign about reporting of abuse, and it's not just us that are involved. We're Crime Stoppers, Usdaw, other organisations involved. I know a lot of ACS members are supportive of the campaign as well. Jim, tell us a bit about what we're aiming to do with this campaign.
Yeah, so the aim is to try and address, I suppose, what I said about the impact of abuse in store, and the key message is that it's not acceptable, and that it should always be reported. And I totally understand why a lot of members of staff do not want to relive the incident by reporting it, do not necessarily see it as being a crime, sadly, almost see it as being part of what goes on in stores, and also maybe don't have a lot of faith in the response they're going to get from the authorities if they do report crime. But we have to break this cycle at some point, and everyone's got a role to play in doing that, and the role we can really play is by drawing attention to it, but also trying to improve the rates of reporting of that crime. So that's a real message to people in our sector, probably most likely the people listening to this podcast. It is about the need to always report crime, and particularly violence and verbal abuse.
As part of the campaign activity, some of the early campaign activity about talking about the launch, I was earlier today in a bunker in a studio in London with Doug Russell from Usdaw. We were doing interviews about the campaign launch, and I just want to take you back to some of the things that we had in discussion about this earlier. I'm here with Doug Russell from Usdaw, and we're both sitting in a basement studio at the moment, midway through a morning full of radio interviews. And we're talking about violence and abuse against shop workers, and Doug, you've got a unique perspective because obviously the Shop Workers Union, you see a lot of this firsthand. What's the scale of the problem at the moment?
It's massive, and then sadly it's increasing as well at the moment. One of the things that we've done as part of the Freedom From Fear campaign for the last few years is we've actually gone out and talked direct to shop workers face to face. Last year, for example, we talked to 6,700, so it's one of the largest samples that we've done. And something like 2/3 of them say that they've had verbal abuse at least once in the last year. About 40% of them said they've had threats of physical violence, and nearly 4% of them said that they actually have had physical attacks.
And there's a sense that this, it's almost being normalised, isn't it? And we hear all the time. I heard yesterday retailers talking about just listing off things that had happened to them, about incidents with knives, incidents with crowbars, incidents with weapons being used. And it almost seems like this is seen now as just part of the job, and it shouldn't be, should it?
It shouldn't, but I think part of the problem is that those incidents have increased so much in recent years. There's no doubt at all that shop crime, shop theft particularly, has been going through the roof over the last few years, presumably because of the financial situation, the lack of police cover, and a few other factors like that.
And none of this exists in a vacuum, does it? No. I mean, shop theft is it's one of the biggest triggers for
abuse. Yes, it is. Well, it's the biggest trigger for certainly for physical violence. That and, of course, age-restricted products, having to ask for proof of age if somebody looks like they might be underage.
And that's an important point, isn't it? Because essentially what the government want retailers to do is to uphold the law on their behalf. And it feels like retailers aren't being given the support they need, but that's something else they've been working on, isn't it?
It's even worse than that, because if they do make a mistake and they don't challenge somebody when they should, then they end up being criminalised themselves.
Absolutely right, yeah. And so to do more to help retailers, you've been doing quite a lot of work on the Offensive Weapons Bill.
Yes, the Offensive Weapons Bill was introducing tighter controls on sale of knives, and for the first time making it a legal offence to sell corrosive substances to people under 18 as well. So it's yet another extension of the restrictions on age-restricted products that we have to deal with. And so our argument, supported by David Hanson MP, was that if you're going to impose these extra duties on retailers and their staff, then you ought to actually give them extra protection as well. And we tried to get a clause in there that would have made it an offence to abuse or to attack the retail worker when they're trying to enforce this particular part of the law.
Yeah, I mean, and completely makes sense. So ACS has been in support of this, and retailers, as we say, are on the front line. They are upholding the law, so they do need extra support. I think actually a lot of the problem is about underreporting and the cycle of how underreporting then leads to lack of resource because the police don't think that it's actually happening, and that's just not the case, is it?
It is. I think there are two levels of underreporting that are important to recognise. The figures that we pick up by these face-to-face interviews with people show that the vast majority, over half of the people who get verbal abused, don't bother to report it to their employer, never mind to the police. And something like one in five of the people who are actually physically attacked don't bother to report it either. So if it's not being reported to the employer, it's certainly not then being reported onto the police as well, which is a worrying problem.
Sure.
We asked people why it is that they don't bother to report, and sadly, something like 75% of them said they didn't think that anything would be done about it. So what was the point? So we've got to get rid of, we've got to break that pattern.
Yeah,
somehow.
You're right. Yeah, and we unfortunately we're seeing this through other crimes as well. I mean, huge underreporting of theft. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's terrible that people are not reporting abuse. I mean, in most other jobs, if you went to work and you were abused, you would be reporting it.
You wouldn't accept it at all.
Yeah, exactly.
It's become, sadly, a part of the job for lots of people.
And it's so
very worrying.
You know, part of the work we're doing on this campaign, which ATS is part of, the Home Office is part of, Usdaw is part of, is saying, you know, every time something happens, it needs to be reported. And you know, it's really crucial that we just keep getting that message out.
Yeah. I think there's still more that quite a few of the employers could do as well, though, because when we ask the shop workers what else they want to see done to actually help them, again, overwhelmingly, the thing they say is more support from the management when something kicks off.
Sure.
They back them up. Don't back up. One of the most common complaints you have is that what might happen is somebody, for example, is challenged to prove their age because they look like they could be under 18. They kick off and get violently abusive. The shop manager comes along, and in order to get rid of them, just gives them some kind of, gives them a voucher or gives them what they want to get them out of the shop. And it feels to the person who was actually trying to do the right thing that they were actually being let down by the manager, undermined by the manager.
Yeah.
I mean, fair enough, as a tactic, it might be necessary to get them out of the shop, but then when you talk to the person afterwards as a manager, make it clear that you actually, why you did it and why that you did criticising them. Is it?
A lot of it is about just trying to minimise the flashpoint, isn't
yes,
it? It's
exactly,
just trying to,
if
they're potentially going to be abusive, just to get them out.
Yeah.
We did some work on this. There's a video that we've got about sort of managing violence and abuse in stores, and I think what we always say on this is people are more important than property.
Yeah.
And you know, if someone is insistent on getting something, realistically, we don't want people to stop them.
That's what all the big retailers say as well. I mean, but if you look at Co-op, for example, we'll tell you that's their policy. They've just recently tightened that policy up to make it clearer that they don't expect their staff or their security staff to have a go at people when they're stealing the stores. Mm. But for some reason, when you actually go into a store, perhaps because it's where you work every day, it's part of your normal life, and when somebody steals from the store, it feels like they're stealing from you personally.
Yeah,
and
so we hear a lot of that.
It's very difficult
that,
to actually control that reaction and make sure that people don't trying to restrain the person who's stealing when it's not in their interest to do so. So even in organisations where that is the policy, they still need to work very hard to actually get that message across. There's a lot of training needs to be done, and reinforcement of that message is needed as well.
And I was on the radio with Paul Chima yesterday, and he was saying that the people working in the store have grown up in that community. Mm. They feel like, as you said, they feel like it is their store. Mm. And if someone is being abusive or stealing or whatever it is, it is a personal affront to those people.
Quite
and
right,
that,
yeah.
You know, that's even more of a problem when you've got independent retailers. They might live above the stores.
Yes, exactly.
You know, that is their home.
It's their business and their library.
Absolutely, yeah. So this notion of business crime, I mean, especially in the small shop sector, is just absolutely ridiculous, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That certainly is.
So, I mean, powerful words from Doug there, and you know, just goes to show that shop workers and retailers are very much aligned in what we're trying to achieve here. So we talked a bit about some of the campaign activity that's going on. We talked a bit about some of the stats from the upcoming crime report. Eleanor, what can retailers do with the information in the report?
Well, first of all, there's some useful guidance in the report that retailers can take and use in their business to help them and their staff. In particular, we've got a new section on reporting crime, which gives some pointers for calling the police and what to report on in the event of an emergency.
And that's specific wording to use when you're reporting an incident to try and help in terms of getting a response.
Yeah, a specific guidance on what to say in the event of a violent crime as well.
Okay.
And also the Home Office have got a consultation coming out which we're going to be responding to. Obviously we've got our data, but also they want to hear from as many retailers as possible to fully understand the scale of violence and verbal abuse in the retail sector. So we want to hear from you as well and your personal experiences, which you can feed into us, and then we can help to get those across to the Home Office as well.
Thanks, Eleanor. So you'll be hearing a lot about that from us in the next coming weeks, probably at trade shows as well. If you're at trade shows or around Summit as well, you'll probably hear a lot about that. It's not just the report, the campaign, the consultation that's going on. There's a whole range of activity that we're doing at the moment on crime. James, you want to touch on a couple of other things coming up?
Yeah, so we're in Parliament with a selected group of MPs in the coming week to talk, having a dinner with them, to talk about these issues, get a bit more depth about the solutions and the ways that we can try and tackle this issue. And I suppose it's an incredibly frustrating issue for retailers for all the reasons you talked about. I'm not going to try and spell it all out again. It's obvious and self-evident why crime in our sector is the biggest operational issue and one that affects everyone who works in the sector. And I suppose the message from me is work with us to try to make inroads to tackle this. There are a whole host of problems, a whole host of things wrong in the system. The response of the police is not good enough. The response of the courts is not good enough, which is one of the reasons why the police often don't take cases as seriously as they should. But we can do things as well to try and improve reporting, to try and work with the police and crime commissioners, work with local police. We are not going to solve this problem. You know, we're not going to solve it in certainly a short period of time, but by engaging with government, giving them the picture through this report, through the consultation that Eleanor talked about, we can influence and affect and bring down and reduce the impact of crime in our sector.
And if anything, I suppose the one key message, and we've said it quite a few times throughout this podcast, is that reporting is really important.
Yeah,
because,
absolutely.
Because clamming up and getting frustrated and then not reporting things to the police then leads to the police coming out and saying, oh, numbers are down. We don't need to divert as much resource to this. So the first point of this is making sure that it's always reported, whatever it is.
Yeah, and retailers are understandably sometimes a bit reluctant to report, not just because of the time it takes to do it, not just because maybe their lack of faith in something being done as a result of them reporting it, but because they fear it makes them a target. They fear that makes them get viewed by the authorities as a problem premises in respect of licensing law, in respect of how they're viewed. We have to get over that. We absolutely acknowledge that that is a concern and the perception that some retailers have, and it sometimes does work like that. We've got a commitment from the Home Office about reporting crime and encouraging retailers to report crime, and we have to commit to that.
Thanks, James, and thanks, Eleanor, and thanks to Doug earlier for talking to us about this. It's a really serious issue. So if you talk to any retailer, it's probably one of the biggest things, as I said earlier, one of the biggest things that is always front of mind. I hope this has given you a bit of a flavour of some of the huge amount of activity that we've got going on in this area. Please get involved with the consultation responses. Please get involved with the campaign. And for those of you that are perhaps listening to this on your way to the crime seminar, please take part in the discussions and look forward to speaking to you soon.